If you heard the promo, you'll know why I'm asking this question. I want you to think of three blessings you received this past week. Now, you might only need the past day or the past hour. Can you think of three blessings you received this past week? All right, you got it in your mind, the three blessings? Now, I'll bet you that all three of them that you are thinking of are positive. Positive? Well, isn't that what a blessing is? And if all three of the blessings you thought of are positive things that happened to you, then this hour is for you. It's an hour of Law and Gospel on AM 850 KFUO, Inspirational Christian Radio, on this Thursday, the last day of July in the year 2007. No, it's 2008. What happened to 2007? We're in 2008 already, Gary? Oh, my. Yes, July the 31st. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel, and this is a call-in program, which means as I talk about this subject and you have some thinking on it, questions or comments, don't hesitate to phone me. How do you get a hold of us? Here at AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, the number is 505-7850. You get the 850 at the end for AM 850 KFUO, 505-7850. And toll-free, long-distance, 1-800-730-2727. Yes, if all you were thinking of was something positive, you may have real problems with what I am about to say. Well, it's not something I said. It's really something that was said by a commentator. The name of the commentator is Tony Snow. And here's his testimony. Blessings arrive in unexpected packages. In my case, cancer. Now that first sentence just kind of gets you between the eyes, doesn't it? Blessings arrive in unexpected packages. Yes, maybe some money from somebody you weren't expecting. Maybe when you have to get something fixed on the house, it's far less than you expected it would be. Your children really get good grades at school. These are all considered blessings. But cancer? How is that a blessing? Going on with what Tony Snow wrote, blessings arrive in unexpected packages, in my case, cancer. Those of us with potentially fatal diseases, and there are millions in America today, find ourselves in the odd position of coping with our mortality while trying to fathom God's will. Although it would be the height of presumption to declare with confidence what it all means, Scripture provides powerful hints and consolations. Now, that's a really good beginning because we're going back to Scripture. Tony Snow, well known, I think he was the press secretary for President Bush recently. He was a commentator on Fox News, had his own radio program. In fact, he even appeared here at Concordia Seminary in Clayton, where the radio studio is, for a talk to a general audience. It was notified, the people in the neighborhood were notified, and the place was pretty well packed when Tony Snow delivered his lectures on government. Now that he has died, and this testimony is left, we now see the faith behind this man. He says the first thing you should do when you're considering it, what it all means, is we shouldn't spend too much time trying to answer the why questions. Why me? Why must people suffer? Why can't someone else get sick? We cannot answer such things. And the questions themselves often are designed more to express our anguish than to solicit an answer. Reminds me of the disciples in John chapter 9, there are some chapters where the entire chapter is all about an issue. Like in John chapter 11, the entire chapter is about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But chapter 9 is about the man born blind who receives sight. The whole chapter is about it. And the very first thing that begins, which is kind of interesting, is the disciples asking Jesus when they see this man born blind, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, if there's one subject we talk a lot about here on Law and Gospel, it is the difference between thinking under the law versus thinking under the gospel. We don't mean thinking according to the law and thinking according to the gospel. We mean when you think under the law, you really are thinking that you have a God of justice. That's about the easiest way to put it. That God is an individual who will give people what they deserve. And so all religions attempt to help you do what is necessary so that you will deserve a lot of blessings. That's what most religions are about. That's not what Christianity is about. We do not have a God of justice who in the final analysis is going to give people what they deserve. We have a God who desires to give people what they do not deserve. That's why he's called a God of mercy, not giving you what you deserve, and a God of grace, giving you what you do not deserve. Now, when the disciples saw this man born blind, they were living in a religion of their minds that was a religion of law. They thought, and this was taught, by the way, by the premier religious leaders of that new religion called Judaism. Judaism is not the religion of the Old Testament. It was a newly formulated religion that we think appears soon after the Babylonian captivity of Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem, when the temple was replaced by synagogues, priests were replaced with rabbis, and sacrifices were basically replaced by reading of the law. And as you can tell from Luke 18, thank God I'm not like other people, the essence of Judaism was by and large that God is going to bless me when I bless him. We're kind of in a cooperative relationship, tit for tat. I do something for you, you do something for me. Now, by the way, that's also the same God the Muslims have, and the Mormons, and the Jehovah's Witness, and almost every other religion in the world that has a personal God. If they have a personal God, it's a God of justice. And religion teaches you how to placate or appease this God of justice. So when the disciples saw this man born blind, for them, being blind was kind of a curse. Why was he cursed? Was it because of his sin? Or was it because of the sin of his parents? We really don't know, they say. But Jesus knows. And Jesus does give an answer, which, by the way, is not often found. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Isn't that something? This man was born blind for the purpose of showing the good works of God. And in fact, you know what the rest of the chapter is like, or maybe you don't, where Jesus heals the man born blind, who then begins to worship Jesus and thereby gets kicked out of the synagogue, because nobody is supposed to follow Jesus. The point I want to make, though, is the two ways of thinking, definitely the disciples were under the wrong way of thinking. Living under the law is living with the idea that God is a God of justice, giving you what you deserve. Living under the gospel, he's a God of mercy and grace, where he's a savior. He's not a judge. Not a judge in the sense of giving people what they deserve. Now, those who reject the God of mercy and grace end up with a God of judgment. and they have no way to placate or appease him. Because it's impossible for a fallen human being to give God something, to say something, or even to think something that impresses him. Because unlike the God of Allah, who really doesn't necessitate perfection, this God is a perfect God. And he necessitates perfection of behavior, if that's how you think you want to get into the kingdom of God. And since no one can do perfection of behavior, religions of the world have two options. Either they lower the status of their God, where he doesn't expect perfection, and that's what Allah does, or they actually figure ways out in which you can make up to God for what is lacking in your life, as though God can be made up to. The view of God is so humanistic that God is just like any other human being, able to be manipulated, able to be worked on. Well, how has this all got to do with the question before us today that cancer can be a blessing? Well, the first point we're making from the letter left by Tony Snow is that we really ought not be trying to answer the why question, because it could be different for every person. Jesus gave the reason why the man was born blind, and God also gives the reason, for example, where Herod, who died of worms, why he died in that way, and that was because of his killing of the innocent children. So sometimes there can be a disciplinary action by God against an individual as a consequence of their behavior. It's where we run into a real problem when we look at certain diseases that are normally caught by illicit behavior, such as AIDS. When you look at somebody who has AIDS, you just assume that they were in an unethical relationship and that's how they got it. However, there are a number of people who did get it through blood transfusions before they were testing the blood for this AIDS virus. So you never know ahead of time, and you can never say for certain, unless the person admits it, how he got AIDS. But even if he got AIDS through illicit behavior, that's no reason why he should be looked down upon as though he is not worthy of hearing about the kingdom of God and the forgiveness of sins, because you are not worthy, and I am not worthy of hearing about the kingdom of God and the forgiveness of sins. Whether you got AIDS through illicit sexual relationship or whether you got AIDS through a blood transfusion, in each case, you're a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. We cannot answer the why in a specific situation because it can be different from God's point of view. And the only answer that I care about is God's answer. And where God hasn't given the answer, then we are to be silent, at least with the answer. Tony Snow goes on, I don't know why I have cancer, and I don't much care. Boy, there's an act of faith, folks. You know, it's one thing for something negative to happen in your life. It's quite another thing to say that the reason for it you don't care about. Does he care he has cancer? Yes. Does he care about the reason? No. Because, he says, it is what it is. A plain and indisputable fact. Yet even while staring into a mirror darkly, great and stunning truths begin to take shape. Our maladies defined a central failure of our existence. We are fallen. We are imperfect. Our bodies give out. Now, you know that normally I don't like talking on the radio about public testimony because I really see it as a braggadocio way of saying, boy, once I was like this, now that I become a Christian, look how things have changed. I don't sin anymore like I used to. I'm richer, I'm more wealthier, I have a happier family. You too can get on this wonderful ride of prosperity and benefits if you will only turn your life over to Jesus. not only is that testimony braggadocio, it's false. There is no promise in the Bible anywhere that these are going to be your benefits if you turn your life over to Jesus, as though you could turn your life over to Jesus. Who are you to have control over God? God's creator, your creature. Recognize your place in life. God chooses you. You don't choose him. You're not God. When Tony Snow gives this testimony, why do I like it? It's because it's not bragging about the fact that he's healthy. It's really a testimony about his insights into the blessing of cancer. And he's using the Bible all over the place. Now, people who don't realize what the Bible says may not be aware of his use of it. But I just read a sentence. Yet while staring into a mirror darkly, great and stunning truths begin to take shape. Well, that word mirror is precisely a word that is used. It's found in 1 Corinthians 13:10. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Don't you feel that way at times, that something's going on in your life and you just don't understand why God's doing what he's doing? Your lack of understanding is because we're staring into a mirror darkly or dimly. It's kind of like a billboard along the road. Yesterday we're getting a billboard, another billboard for our Concordia Mission Society, and I was given five options. So I decided yesterday after I left the radio station to go look at them. Well, I don't know, but I guess there's some hurricane that hit the East Coast or something, and the rain was drenching. And so it was really hard to see the billboards. But I got to all five of them and took a look at them. But when you're coming up in the rain, and I had to look for a particular billboard. They told me what was on it. Like, one was advertising White Castle, believe it or not. It was one of the better billboards. But it's put out by a company named Lamar. And the name Lamar is so small on the billboard that's down at the bottom that at times I had to open up the window because I was seeing through a windshield darkly. You could hardly see cars ahead of you, let alone billboards along the side. Now, we did finally make a choice, and we agreed with that choice today in another contract that we're having with them. So you're going to be seeing near Cave Springs exit, a billboard coming up there shortly, lawgospel.com, and advertising, again, our website and other things. So you can listen to the radio program, get some products from us, learn about Concordia Mission Society, maybe order the Good News magazine, and so forth, lawgospel.com. But I was seeing through a mirror darkly. You may have your eyes wide open, but when something like this happens to you, don't you feel like you're seeing through a mirror darkly? And that's exactly what's happening. You don't see the whole picture because God is the only one who sees the whole picture. Then how can you be comforted the way Tony Snow is comforted? We are comforted not by knowing the answers, but by knowing the one who has the answers. I've said this on the program before, but it bears worth repeating here in this context. On 9/11, there were only two groups of individuals who didn't have to ask the question, why did the Twin Towers fall? The one group was atheists, the other group was particularly Lutherans. The atheists said, we don't have to ask the question why God would allow the towers to fall, because we don't believe in God. There is no God. It just happened. And the Lutherans don't need to ask the question because we believe, according to Hebrews, that wonderful chapter on faith, chapter 11, that God has an answer. And we don't know what it is. In fact, in the falling of those twin towers, where over 1,000 people died, God may have had a different reason for permitting the death of each of those individuals. And we have no understanding of what any of those reasons were. But we have an understanding of God who we trust implicitly through the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore are not particularly concerned about what the actual reason is. And that's what Tony Snow is talking about. In fact, the next paragraph kind of puts it into perspective. Despite this, namely, despite this ignorance of why I have cancer, or because of it, God offers the possibility of salvation and grace. We do not know how the narrative of our lives will end, but we get to choose how to use the interval between now and the moment we meet our Creator face to face. Now, that is really something that's wonderful. We get to meet our Creator face to face. So the first thing is that we're dealing with a gracious God and a merciful God. The second point, and we're going to get to this before the end of the break, we need to get past the anxiety. The mere thought of dying can send adrenaline flooding through your system. A dizzy, unfocused panic seizes you. Your heart thumps. Your head swims. You think of nothingness and swoon. You fear partings. You worry about the impact on family and friends. You fidget and get nowhere. To regain footing, remember that we were born not into death but into life, and that the journey continues after we have finished our days on this earth. We accept this on faith, but that faith is nourished by a conviction that stirs even within many non-believing hearts, an intuition that the gift of life, once given, cannot be taken away. Those who have been stricken enjoy the special privilege of being able to fight with their might, main, and faith to live fully, richly, exuberantly, no matter how their days may be numbered. This is proper testimony. It is testimony indeed from one who has faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, he talks about Jesus a little later on. This, by the way, was sent to me by a friend. If any of you would like a copy of this, don't hesitate to email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com, or you can phone our 800 number, 1-877-CMS-1962. And, of course, we're not home most of the time for that 800 number, so leave your name and phone number. But if you want a copy of this, we'll send it out to you for free. There'll be no cost at all. Tony Snow's testimony that he provided shortly before he fell asleep in Jesus. We'll send that to you. Just leave your name, your phone number, and in the emails or on the phone if you want to put your address. Then we won't have to phone you back. Whatever your home address is to where you want this sent. Once more, you can go to lawgospel.com, go to contact me under lawgospel@lawgospel.com or phone 1-877-CMS-1962.
In Jeremiah 38, one of the two chapters we discussed earlier today on our Bible study program, Jeremiah is cast into a cistern, apparently to die. He is brought up out of that cistern, and I ask our guest, Pastor Lane Berglund, if that was a type of the resurrection. You can hear the answer to that question tonight on our Bible study repeat at 6:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Dr. Steve Farrar on the next Focus on the Family, talking about the frantic nature of life in today's busy world.
We start early in the morning. We go late at night. I don't know about you, but our house, we don't even have an alarm clock anymore. We got a starter's pistol. Boom.
Well, how about you? Are you stuck in the fast lane? Learn how to slow down on the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Single parents have got to have one of the toughest jobs in the world. My colleague, Dr. James Dobson, offers this word of encouragement to single moms.
You're going to survive. And many single mothers don't believe they're going to make it. And they are absolutely overwhelmed. It is a terribly difficult responsibility. And now with all of this kind of negative cultural influence hammering away at our kids. It is very scary because it is one difficult job, but with the Lord's help, you can do it.
There will be those days when it seems like you're at the end of your rope, but you're not alone. Many churches and community groups understand the burden that single moms carry, and they want to help. So do we. We have a complimentary Focus on Your Child membership for you, which includes CDs, newsletters, and helpful web resources. You can sign up at focusonyourchild.com. That's all one word, focusonyourchild.com.
If I were to hold the opinion that I didn't really need God's deliverance from evil until things got really bad, how intelligent would that position be? Here's how Dr. Lewis Brighton answered that question on the Bible study.
When a person has that attitude, he is in great danger because he doesn't realize all the danger that the devil's throwing around him. The devil's tempted not to be very complacent. He will oftentimes not shove us, not bother us. So you go on with your life a happy day to day, and you're not relying upon Jesus like you should because you don't think you need to. That is the worst temptation that the devil can throw at us. When the devil is really leading us to get angry, to commit adultery, to lust after another woman or another man, or to lust after money and so forth, well, we're quite aware of that. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But when we're not aware of that and we're having a good day, you know, that's the greatest danger, because then we begin to rely upon ourselves and not completely entirely upon Jesus.
Join us weekday mornings for the Bible study.
The St. Louis Art Museum is an oasis of cool during the hot summer months in St. Louis. While there escaping the heat, you can explore the culture of all times and places, have lunch, and shop a little. The museum shows this summer include The Immediate Touch, German, Austrian, and Swiss drawings from the St. Louis collections, 1946 to 2007. A show offering an insider's view of the region's obsession with all things Germanic. Visit www.slam.org.
Check out the largest cacti and succulent event in the Midwest, the Henry Shaw Cactus Society Show and Sale, August 9th through the 17th. View thousands of varieties of cacti and succulents at the Missouri Botanical Garden beginning Saturday, August 9th. The event is free with garden admission. Before they go on display, over 500 cacti and succulents will compete for top HSCS honors. The Missouri Botanical Garden. To find out more, visit mobot.org.
We're taking a look at a subject that is near to every one of us. It's easy to love God, trust in Him, worship Him when things are going right, but what happens when the blessings turn sour from our point of view? We're taking a look at a testimony of Tony Snow shortly before he died. He announced he had cancer March the 23rd, 2007, and died just in July of 2008. And he's left behind this testimony, and we have been quite impressed with it. He is a Christian, and that's right. I'm not going to say he was a Christian, because he's still living. He's living in heaven with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's made a couple of points. The first point is we don't need to know why something happens to us, because we have a God who does know, and that satisfies us, because we trust Him. The second thing he says, we need to get past the anxiety. So that occurs also by leaning on God, particularly knowing that this isn't the end of your existence. Third, he says, we can open our eyes and hearts. God relishes surprise. We want lives of simple, predictable ease, smooth, even trails as far as the eye can see, but God likes to go off-road. He provokes us with twists and turns. He places us in predicaments that seem to defy our endurance and comprehension, and yet doesn't. By His love and grace, we persevere. The challenges that make our hearts leap and stomachs churn invariably strengthen our faith and grant measures of wisdom and joy we would not experience otherwise. Well, you know, once more, and I've been saying this, is that the Christian just keeps repeating the Scriptures. Just keeps on repeating the Scriptures. How so? because the scriptures itself indicate that there is a time when we will go through sufferings, but there is a reason for these sufferings. And the sufferings, the reason for them, is to produce hope. That's really the bottom line, that God wants us to have hope. Now, when we think about hope, we think, well, what do you mean hope? How can we have hope in the middle of sufferings? Well, I'm thinking of Romans chapter 5 particularly, where in verses 3 and 4, we have this whole concept of what tribulations do. Let me read it here. And we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, there are other options there for those translations. I was reading from the King James. The New King James says, perseverance leads to character, and character produces hope. So, what is character? It's what you're seeing as you listen to Tony Snow here. It is a decidedly kind of faith that relies on God and His Word because we believe His promises. And when you do that, you don't need to know the reason why things are going wrong in your life from your point of view. You don't need to be anxious about it because He's taking care of you better than the birds in the air, the flowers in the field. And you can actually open up, as Tony said, your eyes and your hearts to see the surprises that God has for us. And the surprises is that through perseverance, we get a character, and through character, we now have the hope that is sure. And Tony sure did. Namely, the assurance of continuing to live in heaven itself. Picture yourself, he says, in a hospital bed. The fog of anesthesia has begun to wear away. A doctor stands at your feet. A loved one holds your hand at the side. It's cancer, the healer announces. The natural reaction is to turn to God and ask Him to serve as a cosmic Santa. Quote, dear God, make it all go away. Make everything simpler, unquote. But another voice whispers, quote, you have been called, unquote. Your quandary has drawn you closer to God, closer to those you love, closer to the issues that matter, and has dragged into insignificance the banal concerns that occupy your normal time. Now, that's really a very good point. I remember when our son was killed in a motorcycle accident, all of a sudden all the plans we had for the next day totally were minimized. They were no longer important. They just didn't matter anymore. Something far greater God had placed in our path. And so, with fondness now, we look back on that week that began on the Friday before Good Friday and culminated, in my view, on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, when I appeared first back on AM 850 KFUO and, of course, did the Easter sermon. Now, by the way, that also is available on CD at lawgospel.com. Getting back to Tony Snow, what he's saying here is there's another kind of response, although usually short-lived, an inexplicable shudder of excitement, as if a clarifying moment of calamity has swept away everything trivial and tiny and placed before us the challenge of important questions. Now, what is the most important question that any human being has? What happens when I die? And where to go better than to Psalm 23? And that's where Tony goes. He writes, the moment you enter the valley of the shadow of death, things change. you discover that Christianity is not something doughy, passive, pious, and soft. Faith may be the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but it also draws you into a world shorn of fearful caution. The life of belief teems with thrills, boldness, danger, shocks, reversals, triumphs, and epiphanies. Think of Paul traipsing through the known world and contemplating trips to what must have seen the Antipodes, Spain, shaking the dust from his sandals, worrying not about the morrow, but only about the moment. Now here comes what Pastor Kurowski would refer to as one of the paradoxes of God's way of thinking. And Tony puts it this way, there's nothing wilder than a life of humble virtue. Now, can you imagine that? They make a movie on the wild side, and people go to it, and what they show is video after video of people coming to church, kneeling, saying the Lord's Prayer, going to the Lord's Supper, kneeling and receiving the body and blood of Christ. That's the wild side. Why is it wild? Because it is not considered to be wild. What is considered to be wild is normal. But to be humble and to think that's the wild side? It is, because it is not the nature of human beings to be humble to God. It takes someone who has had a heart transplant and has the faith given by God Himself. There's nothing wilder than a life of humble virtue. For it is through selflessness and service that God wrings from our bodies and spirits the most we ever could give, the most we ever could offer, the most we ever could do. Now, there's about one of the finest summaries of the sanctified life as one can find. That in the sanctified life, it's not you deciding now, I guess I need to be sanctified, so I'll start doing sanctifying things. No, it's God who wrings out of your bodies the most you ever could give, you could offer, you could do. Sanctification is the Holy Spirit's response to the good news that you have been justified in God's sight. And so now you turn to others, because God sure doesn't need your works, but your neighbor does. Finally, Tony says, we can let love change everything. When Jesus was faced with the prospect of crucifixion, he grieved not for himself, but for us. He cried for Jerusalem before entering the holy city. From the cross, he took on the cumulative burden of human sin and weakness and begged for forgiveness on our behalf. Now we're understanding what love means. Yesterday, we talked about Michael Jackson and some of his records. And we saw that he thought that love could solve everything, but it was a love that was never defined. In fact, it was just thinking that if you were loving, you would be fulfilling the law. What Tony Snow is saying here is that when you love, it has to be a fulfillment of the law, because if it's not a fulfillment of the law, it's not love. God reverses it. You want to fulfill the law? Then obey it. And that's an act of love. Can you think of one time when Jesus did not show love? And I'll know what you're going to say. When he took the whip into the temple. No, that was a wonderful time when he took the whip into the temple. Because of his love for his people, he wanted to warn them of what they were up against. Going on with the letter. We get repeated chances to learn that life is not about us, that we acquire purpose and satisfaction by sharing in God's love for others. Sickness gets us partway there. It reminds us of our limitations and dependence, but it also gives us a chance to serve the healthy. A minister friend of mine observes that people suffering grave afflictions often acquire the faith of two people, while loved ones accept the burden of two people's worries and fears. That's an interesting insight. Sickness gets us partway there. We're not talking about a theology of the cross. which means that God comes to us particularly in the midst of suffering. Jesus was at his best in the midst of suffering. We are at our best when we suffer, for then we only have one place to go, and that's to God himself. Are you suffering today? Are you experiencing something going on in your life that you just cannot understand? Well, I'm not saying listen to Tony Snow, but you do need to listen to what he writes when it's in agreement with the Scripture. That you don't need to know the why, because the individual who allowed it knows the reason, and that's sufficient. You don't need to be anxious, because he never would allow it to happen to you if it was not his will, and nothing will separate you from him. Through such trials, God shows how he has chosen you. If you would like to talk about any of this, our numbers here are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
Hi.
Did you get fired?
No, I didn't get fired.
Well, you see, I was on nighttime, and you were there a lot, so I moved to the daytime, and now all of a sudden you're back again.
It's the nature of my work.
When do you work? And I'll move to that. No, never mind. Never mind.
You know, we can talk about that a little later, Pastor. I'd like to change that pattern.
Yes. So would a lot of us. Go ahead, James.
the question why, would you think it's valid when the life chances of people is affected by, I guess, their race or their socioeconomic status and their environmental situation?
Before you go on, I mean, are you saying something like salmonella just occurred in a lot of people, and we need to know the why of that, namely what farm it came from? I have no problem with that, but that's a scientific question. That's not the question that Tony Snow's talking about, is why me? Why was I at that restaurant?
Yes, I would think that that the question that people would ask whose life chances are affected by it, such things as that, would be why me? And would not the seeking of that answer lead to remedies that would attempt to unify race relations and have equality of socioeconomic statuses and such?
Oh, yeah, if you're in heaven.
Oh, okay.
But we're in a fallen world. So just knowing the why, like Hitler, when let's move from race to nationality, or when he killed the Jews, he just thought they were subhuman, and knowing the why sure didn't help anything.
Well, that sure didn't. I mean, the seeking, but those who would seek to answer the question, because the question has to be posed so that there could be movement towards trying to affect the change by posing the question.
I don't know if the Allied forces really cared why Hitler was killing the Jews. They just knew it was wrong. They didn't have to have the why answered in order for them to come in and bomb Berlin and stop the atrocity.
That's true, but if you're going to have a war on poverty and on socioeconomic status, you would want to know what are the things that are affecting that. And so one of the things, if you're going to talk about the life chances of people who are affected by those issues, you want to know why.
Well,
and how is it
connected? Okay, see, I'm making a distinction between why is it happening, say, in a certain population mix. That's a sociological question. What Tony Snow is dealing with is the theological question, why am I in that mix? And that's the unanswerable question. That will never be answered.
Okay, well, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, is this the kind of expression that you think Mr. Snow is saying?
Okay, I'll be glad to look at that. Thanks for calling, James. 1 Peter 4, 16 to 19 goes this way. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And I think this first verse has certainly been followed by Tony Snow. He's giving God all the glory, particularly in his refusal to answer why. God is creator. Tony Snow is creature. So even if he could figure out the why, it's not going to help him, because God has made his decision. He has cancer. Verse 17, For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. This is an excellent passage for you to bring up, James, because it's almost exactly what Tony Snow is saying in his letter, especially this last part. Let those who suffer according to the will of God. He's already said this. This is the will of God. And some people will say, you can't say that cancer is the will of God. Well, let me respond in this way. If your cancer or your suffering is not the will of God, whose will is it? Is there somebody other than God? I don't know. And if there is somebody other than God, then he's more powerful than God. I'm quite satisfied to let my negative experiences from a human point of view be according to the will of God. Because then I know that all the promises he has provided me are there. But even more so, this verse 19 is so good, James, because when you suffer according to the will of God, you commit your souls to him. How? In doing good as to a faithful Creator. And who do you do good to? The neighbor. See? Let me read Tony Snow's thing again, and I think it fits perfectly with 1 Peter 4:19. It also gives us a chance to serve the healthy. Learning how to live, most of us have watched friends as they drifted towards God's arms, not with resignation, but with peace and hope. In doing so, they have taught us not how to die, but how to live. They have emulated Christ by transmitting the power and authority of love. And love in this context means obedience to the will of God, even when there's nothing in it for me. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Don. Hi, Don.
Hi, Don. I mean, sorry, Pastor. I heard Don. Sorry, my phone gave me feedback. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, what do you got to say, Tom?
Well, I want to say...
I mean, Don.
That's all right. I wanted to say a wise pastor once told me that through, even if blessings seem bad, they are a blessing, or things seem bad.
Yes.
And it was you, so I'll tell you, came to our church, and I have thought and thought about that, and you're absolutely right, that even if you can't see it, whether it's a health affliction or whatever, you're right. It is a will of God, but it's all to his glory, and it is to his good, and it does bring you around, and you are to, you know what I'm saying? What you say is true. I really, really had to think about that, and I wanted to thank you for that, because you are right. In everything, we should thank God, and everything is a blessing, even if you don't look at it like that. And I just wanted to say that, and I really enjoy your program, and I've been listening, and I had to call in because it seems so fit to what's been going on in my life. And I thank you for that.
Thank you very much for calling, Don. She reminds us that the greatest evil event that probably ever occurred in the history of the world, from a human point of view, is the death of the innocent, and that is none other than the cross of Christ. And what Don is saying is that when you first are visiting the cross, as the disciples did, they fled, and they had no idea that anything good could come out of it. But when the words, "It is finished," were said on that accursed tree, it locked in the assurance that Jesus had done for me what I could never do for myself, that he had done for you what you have no possibility of doing, namely, to getting rid of the punishment that you deserve rightly and having it replaced with the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Pastor. And it's Jan in Atlanta.
Oh, Jan.
James pointed out the passage in 1 Peter, and I think it's interesting just prior to that verse 16 where Peter makes a distinction that sometimes people suffer, 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler.
Yeah, where you get the consequences of temporal sins, yes.
Right. And I think that, I had the blessing of really good parents. And I say that because they exposed me to God and, encouraged me to develop a relationship with him, and they prepared me for realities based on my ethnicity I could expect.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't understand evil, and when the negative distinctions are made based on a person's ethnicity, that's not God's will, and you're not suffering because of, you're not suffering as a Christian.
That's right. That's right.
So, I was thinking about that passage where Jesus tells the story about the talents, and he gives the one talent to the one of the servants, and the servant just says, I knew that you were hard and that you reaped where you didn't sow.
Right.
So, to whom much is given, much is required.
Okay, Jan, we're just at the end of the time here now. But thank you very much for your call. Appreciate that. We could say more about that particular idea she did. In fact, after the break, we're going to finish up with the Tony Snow. And in case other of you have comments, don't hesitate to phone. And as I promised, I'm willing to send a free copy of Tony Snow's testimony to any of you. Email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com, giving me your name and phone number and address. Or just, if you don't have a computer, 1-877, this is a toll-free number, 1-877-CMS-1962. CMS for Concordia Mission Society, or numbers 267-1962, and leave your name and address to where you would like this to be sent. Want to know more? Stay with us through the break, and we'll be right back with a continuation of Tony Snow's testimony.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.